Shalom, this is Shira Sherbo, and today I'm going to tell you three short stories to just kind of show you a basic fundamental idea, a basic concept that it's not even spoken about. It's really something that God gives us the credit to, that we understand this basic issue, that when he's talking to his children, and when we read the scriptures about God and his relationship to his people, that he is addressing them at their level. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this level of experience, and the level of how what's considered a sin or a failure at our level, depending on exactly what caliber we are and what God expects from each of us, because not all children are the same. Like in one family, you might have a kid that always gets 100 on his math test. You might have another kid that struggles just to get a 50. But if one kid, the one that gets 100, comes home and he was just kind of negligent, he gets like a 92, and your one that can never get above a 50 comes home with a 65, it's like, you know, you take the one, march him into the bathroom and beat him, you know, and the other one you throw a party for. Of course, I'm being overly dramatic, but you get the point. Like, you're not happy with the one that gets hundreds all the times because he got a 92, but then the one that usually never gets above a 50 gets a 65, and you know, you're throwing a party for him, and you're so excited because he did better than what was expected for his level of capability. And it would be really weird for a friend to come over and witness this whole thing. They would never guess that the one getting in trouble in the bathroom got a 92 and the one you're having the party for got a 65. But that's just saying this point that we are judged by our level of expertise and our and what is expected of us. And so, okay, so here's the three stories, and you'll see what I mean. Okay, there was this large corporation, like a Shell Oil, and they had hired like a 16-year-old kid he was there to kind of clean the office, make the coffee. And he sees on the newspaper that this big corporation, Shell Oil, is going to invest $75 million in Venezuela oil. And he just glances at the headline. He goes, oh, what fools. They're going to lose all their money. And 3 weeks later, some fluke happens in the Venezuelan government, something unforeseen. And sure enough, they lost $75 million. Okay? So the kid, who really didn't even understand the issues of what was going on. He didn't know that they were deliberating, you know, through the night for weeks, calling together, you know, world-class politicians and investors and analysts and, you know, turning it over and over and over. Should we take this risk? Should we, you know, it's going to be big, but there's going to be big profits. And, all right, well, overall, they were very profitable, but this one was a bust. They made a mistake, and it happens. So does that mean what? If you just look at the 16-year-old was right and the investors were all wrong. Okay. All right. So here's another story. There was a World Cup soccer game, and the goalie allows a goal. And then there's a kid that's watching this. He's the goalie. He plays for his local YMCA. And nobody has ever scored a goal on him. And so if you were interviewing these two goalies, and all you knew is you had a goalie here and a goalie here, did anybody ever score on you? No, nobody's ever scored on me. Well, has anybody ever scored on you? Oh, yes, many times. Okay. But you're kind of missing a big part of the equation there. Right? Okay, so that's why I said it should be something that's just understood. But a lot of people don't understand this when they read the scriptures and they see failure after failure after failure of the Jewish people. they're missing at what level these people are at. And we have to remember these things. When somebody comes to you and they say, you know, the Jews, God's done with the Jews, they're just idolaters, backsliders, God's given up on them, they're no longer the chosen people. And if you said, you know what are you talking about? Where does it say that? And you open up the Bible, and pretty much on any page, you will see some failure of the Jewish people. And you could, if you didn't know, if you just read the surface of the text, you didn't understand that this is a father reprimanding his children, father who has like the highest expectations of them, that this is like the generation that came out of Egypt, for instance, for one example, like they merited to stand at Mount Sinai. They merited to see God face to face. They left everything and went out into the desert, not knowing where their next meal or their next drink of water or anything was coming from. So they're a very, very high caliber group of people that today we can't even relate with them. But it says that they had 10 tests and they failed all 10. And this is in a 40-year period in the desert, which, you know, 10 failures in 40 years, one every 4 years average, it's not too bad. But here's my favorite thing that they got in trouble for. After going for 3 days with no water and to the point of death, of, you know, just dying of thirst, they said, excuse me, Moses, would there be any water? And they get in so much trouble. They're called that they had no faith, they didn't trust in God. So what if you're to the point of death? You should trust me. Okay, this is something that these people actually got in trouble for doing, only because we don't understand this, because this, we don't understand what was expected of them. You know, what God was doing with them that was going to affect like the whole world and all future generations. So he had to get them to a point of having such faith to the point of death. And so they're at a level like we can't even wrap our minds around what level they were at. So if you just pick up the words and you just read, like when you're in Sunday school, you might see the teacher saying, you know, oh, those bad Jews, you know, they just mumbled and complained and they just didn't have any faith. And you know, you just like get this picture like, oh yeah, those complaining Jews, and you somehow miss the other point, you know, the other part of the story. And God just expects us to know, like it would be no different than if you had your child, who's usually a good kid, he comes home from school and he got in trouble that day, like he sassed the teacher. And so you're reprimanding him because you know he can do better than that. You expect more from him. That's not who he is. He doesn't talk back. And you're going over this. And some thug in the neighborhood happens to hear you reprimanding your child and just comes in and kicks your child. And the father's like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, you're yelling at him. I just thought I would, you know, add to it. And he's like, you know, I'm his father. I'm disciplining him because I love him and because I have high expectations of him, and he fell below, you know, his level that I know he can be at. And like, who are you? We're not even talking to you. So when people come to your door, maybe missionaries come to your door, and they want to say, you know, the Jews are no longer the chosen people, they're no longer loved by God, they're no longer, look, you know, we can turn to any page. All the wrongdoings they did, they're idolaters, they're wicked. And they turn their back on God, and he turned their back on them. And look, it's right here. It's in black and white. It's obvious. We are the new chosen people. Okay? This is how ridiculous this is. And God is expecting us to just know that when we read these stories, of course, he's not done with the Jewish people. These are his kids. These are his family that he's been working with. And every time they got in trouble, it was at their level that they got in trouble, which is a totally different, you know, like letting someone score on you on the YMCA team and in the World Cup. I mean, it's obvious. But I wanted to just, I guess I just wanted to state the obvious that we are all judged at the level of expertise, at the level of what is expected of us, just like any parent does with their kids. And you only, you know, when you, the truly great people, they look for someone, they look for a Rebbe or they look for a teacher that will criticize them, a coach that will criticize them, because they have so much trust that you know that that person is doing it out of love and respect and wants you to be great. And so they're not afraid of criticism. And so when you see criticism all through the scriptures, it's not a negative thing. It's a very, actually, it's a very positive thing. All right, that's all I wanted to say this time. Bye for now.